quotes, and this is one of my favorite quotes, is don't ever look back unless you're looking back to see how far you've come.
Yes. Yeah, I love that quote. Yes. Yeah.
Because it's like, don't beat yourself up. It's just, but look at how far you've come and look what you made it through, because we really do forget how difficult life has been sometimes.
Yeah.
And it gives us courage to keep going.
That's
we can do hard things.
Aloha. Aloha, Terrell.
Aloha, Deidre.
And aloha to everyone out there, too.
Yes, aloha to you folks.
Because right now, we are about to dive into some pretty interesting topics.
One's relationships and hardships.
To one's childhood and trip down memory lane.
That's right. We are ready to talk it all.
So join us in our show,
DT Talks.
Aloha, everyone.
Aloha, friends and family. Welcome back to a new episode of our podcast, DT Talks Season 5.
Yes.
Woo. How are you doing, Deidre?
Surviving, guys.
Surviving.
I'm in pain over here.
You just had a surgery, right?
I mean, I extracted my tooth, so.
Like one wisdom tooth?
I'm just one.
Oh, okay.
But
cool.
Still, you know. If you guys experience like tooth extractions or any surgery of that, you all understand, yeah.
Well, glad to know that you're still alive then.
I know, right? Knock on wood.
Knocking wood.
But how are you feeling?
For me? Man, like this past week, it was just nothing but stress. But but that's life, right? That's how human beings are. And we have to go through things in order to grow, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, just make sure to always take time to relax, you know.
Yeah, and that's what
listen
everyone
to
else
podcast.
Do. Yes, during your leisure time, boost our followers. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's going good, though. It's going good.
Okay, shall we get to the news, Deidre?
Yes. Sorry, guys. If you notice, if I don't speak as much, you'll know why. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. But now let's turn over to good news for the day.
Okay, here we go. This is Uncle Taro back at it again with another news from the goodnewsnetwork.org.
Yay, what's our news?
The news today, very special. Anyone who likes to eat vegetable and whose older age can read this article on Good News Network. It says, new study of mind diet shows it may improve memory and thinking skills in old age. Aging takes a toll on the body and on the mind. For example, the tissue of aging human brain sometimes develops abnormal clumps of proteins that are the hallmark of Alzheimer's disease. How can you protect your brain from these effects? Researchers at Rush University Medical Center have found that older adults may benefit from a specific diet called the MIND, mind diet, even when they develop these protein deposits known as amyloid plaques and tangles. Plaques and tangles are a pathology found in the brain that build up in between nerve cells and typically interfere with thinking and problem-solving skills.
Oh, interesting.
Developed by the late Martha Claire Morris, SCD, who was a Rush nutritional epidemiologist, and her colleagues, the MIND diet is a hybrid of the Mediterranean and DASH dietary approaches to stop hypertension diets. Previous research studies have found that the MIND diet may reduce a person's risk of developing Alzheimer's disease dementia. Now a study has shown that participants in the study who followed the MIND diet moderately later in life did not have cognition problems. Some people have enough plaques and tangles in their brains to have a post-mortem diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease, but they do not develop clinical dementia in their lifetime, said Claudine Dana, lead author of the paper and an assistant professor in the Division of Geriatrics and Palliative Medicine in the Department of Internal Medicine at Rush Medical College. Some have the ability to maintain cognitive function despite the accumulation of these pathologies in the brain, And our study suggests that the MIND diet is associated with better cognitive functions independently of brain pathologies related to Alzheimer's disease. In this study, the researchers examined the associations of diet from the start of the study until death, brain pathologies and cognitive functions in older adults who participated in the Rush Alzheimer's Disease Center's ongoing memory and aging project, which began in 1997 and includes people living in Greater Chicago. The participants were mostly white without known dementia, and all of them agreed to undergo annual clinical evaluations while alive and brain autopsy after their death. And then the interesting stat is the researchers followed 569 participants who were asked to complete annual evaluations and cognitive tests to see if they have developed memory and thinking problems. Beginning in 2004, participants were given an annual food frequency questionnaire about how often they ate 144 food items previous year. Using the questionnaire answers, the researchers gave each participant a MIND diet score based on how often the participants ate specific foods. The MIND diet has 15 dietary components, including 10 brain-healthy food groups and 5 unhealthy groups: red meat, butter and steak margarine, cheese, pastries and sweets, and fried or fast food. Finally, we found that a higher MIND diet score was associated with better memory and thinking skills independently of Alzheimer's disease pathology and other common age-related brain pathologies. The diet seemed to have a protective capacity and may contribute to cognitive resilience in the elderly, Dana said. Diet changes can impact cognitive functioning and risk of dementia for better or worse, he continued. There are fairly simple diet and lifestyle changes a person could make that may help to slow cognitive decline with aging and contribute to brain health. So this means that if Uncle Terrell gets super old, I can eat vegetable and then I don't have Alzheimer's.
Well, I mean, yeah, it could help reduce the risk of it.
It's okay. Eat vegetable, very healthy. See, every time Uncle Terrell parents always teach when Uncle Terrell very young to always eat vegetables, this is the good reason.
Yes. So every remember, day gotta have your veggies.
So remember to always eat your vegetables, okay? Okay, this is all the news from Uncle Terrell. Take it away, Deidre.
Much mahalo, Uncle Terrell. Okay, that's quite interesting, yeah, about Alzheimer's and dementia. Those are very difficult diseases to see someone have and to have as well. But yes, that's good. We can do this by eating a healthier diet, guys. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate that. All right, so let's move on to meet our guests for this episode.
That's right, my friends and family. We have two very special guests here today. So one is Becky Sampson, one of my great friends, great classmate to be with. We had acting classes and singing classes together. So I think, we're really, really good friends. So, and then we also have Crystal and recurring guests that she was here before last time. If you remember what we talked about, you can check out on our episode where she was in it. What was it about again? I kind of forgot. It's been that long, huh?
It's been quite a while.
Blind dates, yes. Yeah. We talked about blind dates. So if you want to hear what we have about blind dates and Crystal's comments, you can go check it out. Anyways, we'll have our guests introduce themselves. Okay, Becky.
Hi, and aloha, everyone. Thank you so much, Tyrell and Deidre, for having me on the show today. This is exciting. You and I met in an acting class. We were just talking about that.
Yes, yeah.
And singing. I had no idea that you sang too.
Until
we started singing together, which is super fun. But I am originally from San Francisco Bay Area. Mm-hmm. But my family owned a summer camp, adventure camp in southern Utah.
Oh, wow.
So every summer of my life, I spent under the stars.
Oh, that's nice.
So much fun.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I kind of lived this city life, but then also out in the country, meeting people from all over the world, doing really adventurous things. So, and then moved to Hawaii like 2.5 years ago.
So. Nice. So you worked in the radio and TV industry before, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's the first time I was on radio actually was in 2010. I had just recently lost 130 pounds, and I don't know how. What's the in Malaysia?
130 pounds. Let me check.
How many? What, is it kilograms? Yeah.
60 kg.
59 kilograms.
59 kilograms. Yeah. Wow.
So I lost all this weight, and I was wanting to try to get onto a TV show. And a girlfriend of mine, which I didn't know at the time, I just reached out to her and said, hey, would you be interested in my story? And she said, well, I don't know if I can get you on the TV show, but why don't you come on my radio show? And so she had me be a guest for a couple months. And then I did a vision board with a bunch of microphones. Mm-hmm. And literally within a week, she's like, hey, do you want to be our guest host? And I was like, what? Me host your 2-hour show? So I used to go to an actual radio show with this huge mixer, and I would talk for 2 hours. And I remember the first time that I did the first show, and I was so nervous. And I said to her, I said, what am I going to talk about for 2 hours? And she goes, just be you. Ready? 3, 2, 1. And I was like, crying. I was so nervous.
And right, so, on the spot.
Yeah, and now, like 150 shows later, I still get nervous. I don't know about you guys, but I get nervous every time I do a show.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just part of the thing. And I just love people, and I love stories. So that's something mm-hmm. that's just been really fascinating to me, is to be able to share, have a platform for people to share their stories. Because every single person has a story. Even if you don't think you do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Becky, for introducing yourself. We're longing to have you to be in our show. Just letting you know.
So. Yeah. Terrell keeps mentioning it a lot.
And honestly, Deidre didn't know what you look like. And I always mention everything about you.
Yeah. The more you know. Good to meet you.
Yes.
Anyways, we'll turn our time to Crystal. We have you introduce yourself again and who you are and why you're here.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name's Crystal and I'm from Indonesia. I was here last season talking about blind dates.
Yes.
That's always fun.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And I'm a student. I'm a student in BYU Hawaii. And Becky's life is so interesting. I cannot. I'm a student. I'm a regular student majoring in communications. Now I'm a junior. And I also work for the university communications.
That's cool, man.
Nice. Nice.
I feel like the job's like super stressful for you sometimes.
In the morning, yeah, when I'm putting together the bulletins. But other than that, it's pretty good. I enjoy it.
That's cool.
She says she's a regular student. I mean, come on. Fantastic student. Let's just say.
Thank you.
You made it this far.
Yes. And she's super smart. Just letting you guys know.
She's humble, guys.
I would tell.
Okay, all right. We're going to get into our fun segment now because we want to, of course, get to know our guests better. So, as we always do, we're going to play Would You Rather? All right. So, are you guys ready?
Yes.
All right. Ditto. Here we go. All right. First question. Would you rather go on a roller coaster or go skydiving?
I would go on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, skydiving is just way out of my comfort zone.
It's fun.
That, you know, when I was young, I loved roller coasters, but I went skydiving when I first got to Hawaii, and I have to say, I would definitely go skydiving again.
Oh, dang. It was amazing.
Yeah. Really? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It was worth the 58 seconds from 40,000 feet or something.
Yeah, Deidre has the experience too, right?
Yeah, I did it in Hawaii as well. I mean, when you see the view though, the view of the ocean with the greens of the island, it's just like, I just love being out here.
No, I just want to go now.
See, don't you like wish it was longer than 58 seconds?
Yes. That drop.
I know.
Well, I guess we'll recommend that then. Whoever wants to go skydiving, go skydiving. I also love roller coasters, just letting you know. So,
Yeah, roller coasters are fun too, yeah.
Always fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You have to wait forever for the lines, though.
Yeah, I remember like going to Disney.
Yeah.
Disney Sea in Tokyo. It's the longest line ever for a 30-second ride.
Yeah, I guess it's the same thing with skydiving,
too. Well, yeah, that too, yeah.
I think they psych you out the whole time. I don't know, Deidre, if this happened to you, but the guy was winding me up all the way up to the 40,000 or whatever we went to. He was like, oh, that's not going to work, and this is going to break, you know, and you better be careful. Oh, and I'm like, shut up.
You're just totally trying to wind me up. What the heck? That's funny.
Oh, I like my instructor. He was good. Very chill guy. But okay. All right. Let me ask the next question now. Would you rather your mother or your father pick your future spouse?
I would say my mother.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Why?
She knows me better.
Than your dad.
Yeah. And I don't really talk about relationship stuff with my dad. Oh. I just talk with my mom. So, you know, I would choose my mom to pick me a future spouse.
Yeah. Cool. Moms are good that way, right?
Yeah.
I would probably have my mom. She likes cute guys. she's always like, she's fun. But she also knows me really well. She knows what, you know, who I am. And my dad does too. But my dad's kind of not as in touch with all that stuff. But I trust my mom. She would see the whole package. Right? Not just that one element.
Yeah.
I see.
That's cool. That's good to know. All right, next question. Would you rather experience the world beginning or ending? Beginning of the creation.
Oh, not you mean knowing. Like the beginning of the creation, like Bible times?
I don't know.
Like when the world was created?
Dinosaurs?
I don't know. Like that is a very broad question.
Or the beginning of, well, I don't know. Like the beginning of our lives or the beginning of the world?
Beginning of the world. Let's just say it's beginning of the world.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool if I were here at the beginning of the world and I can write about like, oh, did dinosaurs really exist? And how do you navigate your way when the earth is just made? But honestly, I think that's too much work. So I prefer to experience the world ending because we're scared together.
That's true. Yeah.
What would we do without our cell phones? Like that'd be weird.
I know. Yeah. Wi-Fi connection.
No, me and my friend were talking about this yesterday. Is that like, you know, thinking about the Japanese people, they had nothing else to do but to fold origami. Right? They have to think about it, how they're going to do it all the time. So, yeah. Those were the TV days, I guess.
Yeah.
Actually, it's true. I always wondered what people would do.
Yeah. What about you, Becky?
When they didn't have... Well, you know, I grew up with my brother... The thing that comes to my mind, my brother and sister are both blind. I don't know if I've ever told you that.
You told me that, yeah.
So they're legally blind, so they would watch the TV. So when I was growing up, we had the black and white TV. I mean, I'm an old fart. By the way, I'm a student at BYU as well. An extraordinary one, just like yourself.
Yeah.
Yes. I never saw anything but like an inch, square inch of the TV because both of their heads were right next to it. And then we never had remotes. And then when remotes did come, you plugged the remote into the side. But then even if I had the remote with me and I would change it, they would change it back. Oh. I was like, okay, this is like no fun. Like this, so I don't know. I mean, when I was in college the first time, we didn't even have computers.
Yeah.
So it's changed a lot even in my lifetime. Also, we live in a very complex world. So there's some great advantages that we have, but it's also a lot of distractions. It's really hard to stay focused.
True.
So, I don't know.
True.
That's an interesting question.
Ending it is. Where we have our own cell phones in our hands. Just texting about it. Tweeting, posting, stories.
Reels.
How we stay connected. Okay. Would you rather continue with your life or restart it?
I would continue. I've had a pretty amazing life.
Me too.
Yeah.
Restarting it is just too much work. Man, I don't even want to relive some of the experiences in my life. So yeah, let's continue.
Yeah, I feel like new life, you know, like knowing discovering the unknown is like the beauty of life, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's what I would pick too, definitely, to continue with it. No matter how miserable it is, I guess. Oh, I don't know.
Nah. It's not going to be miserable.
Okay, final question. Would you rather have a physical meeting with coworkers or an online meeting with them?
Physical meeting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
definitely. I agree with that too.
I miss having like face-to-face classes and communication and touching each other and, you know, just being in each other's energy. Like right now, I love being here with you guys.
That's the one, The energy especially.
Yeah.
That's cool, yeah.
It's the best.
Well, thank you so much, Becky and Crystal, for answering our wonderful Would You Rather questions. Hopefully, you friends and family have known them a little bit more, if not know Crystal a little bit more than before during this episode. So, yeah.
Yes, listeners. So, today's episode, well, it's going to be something that all of us are, you know, quite familiar with, especially during this day, you know, at this time that we are alive.
Yeah, exactly. And uncertainty is definitely all around us. Mm-hmm. Never more so than today, you know, whether it's concerning over a global pandemic, the economy, health, finances, relationships, what lies ahead remains very uncertain.
Indeed. So as humans, you know, we crave security and we want to feel safe and have a sense of control over our well-being. But of course, there's only so much we can tolerate with in life, and we all tend to get trapped in that spiral of what ifs.
Exactly. That's why for today's episode, we will dive in to talk about, if not more, about living with uncertainty.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right. So to our guests, we first would like to know if you are the type of person who likes to plan things out or just go with the flow.
Becky.
I hate to admit this, but most of my life, I've been a control freak where I've had to know where I'm going. You know, if anything went off the beaten path that I thought it should be, it was very difficult for me to handle. I'm not that way now. Now that I think when I went through my transformation of losing the weight, I also lost all of my I shouldn't say totally, but I learned to be more in the moment and in the present moment than feeling like I had to control my surroundings and control my thoughts and my feelings. And so to me, it matters so much to me that if one of my mottos that I go by is if it doesn't flow, I don't go. And so if it feels like I'm pushing something or I'm trying to control something, it's another phrase that I have, is that when you try to control things, those things that you're trying to control, and if they're people and circumstances, they then start spinning out of control. And so I just kind of put my hands up. I'm like, all right, I can feel myself trying to control this. I'm just going to let go, because that's where my peace returns back to me. So I don't live in that space anymore of having to know what's going to happen tomorrow, next year, next life, whatever. I just really genuinely try to stay in that moment and go, okay, what's the next right step? Yeah.
That's cool. What can you, do you mind repeating your motto again?
Which one? So the motto, if it doesn't flow, I don't go.
Okay, if it doesn't...
Yeah, or where it flows, I go.
Oh, okay. If it doesn't go, if it doesn't flow, you won't go.
I won't go.
Okay.
So, like, if I feel like I'm pushing something, then I need to let go.
Okay, yeah.
Like, if it's a relationship or if it's a working, you know, relationship with somebody or a business association, and I just feel like I'm constantly having to push that that's not how water works.
Yeah,
water flows, and I truly believe that that's where we have the peace in our life, is if we just let go and let go of that control.
True. Yeah. I think your motto should be on a t-shirt, just letting you know.
I can create it.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to sell, if anything. That's a great motto. What about you, Crystal?
Yeah, well, I would say that I'm still young And planning is something that I do religiously.
Religiously.
Like, I just need to plan way ahead of time. It's been a habit that gives me comfort, gives me a sense of security.
Right.
And what do you say? Like, whenever people ask you, since you're still young, people are going to ask you and be like, oh, what do you want to do with your degree after you graduate? Mm-hmm. Or like, what are your plans for the next year? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Now, those kinds of questions, they trigger something in us that, oh, I feel obligated to plan my future. Mm-hmm. These kind of questions, they change our mindset, I guess. Like, oh, so I have to know what I want to do because these people keep asking me, right? Yeah. So kind of tapping into my spiritual side. Just last week, actually, I was giving a lesson. I was teaching my Relief Society class about letting God be the author of your life.
Yeah.
So when I was in high school, I've always been taught like, okay, create a timeline of your life starting from today within the next 10 years. And our timeline would look a lot like, okay, I'm gonna go to college, finish by this year, go on an internship, get married, find a stable job, buy a house or buy a car, whatever, or go to a place that you really want to go to. However, the real timeline that God has prepared for us, or, well, if you don't believe in God, maybe the universe has for us, looks more up and down. Like, oh, you go to college, but then suddenly you face an unexpected death of a parent or a loved one. As you move on, you will get rejected from so many jobs, but then 3 years later you start your own business. So it's kind of like an up and down hill. Yeah, so I've been trying to, you know, just like Becky, let it go, kind of like go with the flow.
Well, I think it's important to have a target out there.
Yeah, definitely.
But not knowing how you're going to get there, the path. Yeah. Because I always say that God can't drive a parked car either. So you have to be in motion and you have to be heading somewhere.
True.
And having a vision for your life. And then you'll be directed and then go, okay. Like for me, I didn't think that out of college I would be start working real estate at such a young age. But I ended up there, and then I ended up somewhere else, and then I ended up, and so that wasn't what I planned for. But I think it's, if we're prepared to go with that flow and prepared to take life as life comes, then you'll be able to weather those storms a lot more. And then if you're so rigid and going, no, this is not what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, definitely. I think when you plan something, it also gives you motivation. Like you wake up in the morning because you have a purpose. You have something to pursue. So that's also what I like about planning.
True, yeah. Okay, I'm just going to comment one like little thing about having social pressure of like people asking you, why are you studying this? Where you're going to go from here? Like, I'm not pressured because I know what I want to do. But imagine, like, you have no clue, right? And you have to make something up. But that's also not a bad thing, though, if you think about it, you know? You're just giving them an excuse that you are doing something. But you have something else planned in mind, for sure.
Yeah. That's like, it's true what they've been saying. It's like, whatever you plan out as well, it's not for sure that you're always going to be able to do what you plan, you know? Like, it's good to have goals, but if the path changes along the way, you have to go with it.
Well, and it's the expectation to the plan. Like, if you're so set looking a certain way, you're always going to be disappointed. Like, I did not in a million years think at my ripe age that my life would turn out the way it did. Yeah. And it is. But what if life was happening for me, not to me? So it's, everything is divinely orchestrated, but I didn't know it. And so there's been times where I've been like, no, this isn't supposed to be happening like this. And the more I hold on to that energy, the worse it gets for me.
Yeah.
So it's just like, okay, what do I need to learn? How do I need to grow? What do I need to, how do I can step into a place that I can learn and grow from this and shake it off and move forward? Because you're right, Crystal. I mean, there's so many trials and tribulations that people die. My dad died when I was 23 years old. You know, that was such a big blow. I had a week left of my mission, and you know, that I didn't see that one coming. And you go, what? But when you realize, and when you can step into and then kind of lean into that, that things happen for a reason, you know, it is what it is, and we accept and lean into it, that's where that peace is.
True. Great comments right there. Yeah.
Yep. Very nice.
So obviously none of us saw this whole pandemic coming. We're talking about the coronavirus dilemma right here. And it has certainly caused a lot of worries and uncertainties for the most of us, if not all of us, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, did this pandemic affect you personally, for you, both of you, and also the audience as well, greatly with uncertainty of where your future may be?
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, like, we can look back a year ago, like, pandemic happened, school closed down, didn't need to go to school, no jobs, no money, no income.
Was but isn't no it future? Amazing, though, that we survived?
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you would have said to us a year and a half ago, well, what are you going to do? Yeah. Like, we're all going to go, like, sink into the ocean because we don't have, I mean, I thought with no one having jobs, I thought, what's going to happen? They're all going to be out on the street. But somehow we all survived.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, like, so God provides.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. I didn't even know I was going to graduate. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I graduated.
Even until now, I think the uncertainty still continues.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
But also, even before COVID, it's always been uncertain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, COVID definitely adds up to the uncertainty, but the uncertainty itself has always been there and will always be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Because we don't have a magic wand. We don't know what, or the magic ball that shows us exactly where we're going in life. That would be a lot easier. It's like Indiana Jones. Have you guys seen Indiana Jones?
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, when
he
like walks off the cliff and you're like, the path doesn't show up until his feet actually hit the path.
Yep.
And you're like, oh my gosh, how'd you just do that? But that's really, it's again, you know, walking in that faith going, you know, it is going to work out. I just need to keep going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But I do want to ask this question, though. Would you say that you regret living through any of those uncertainties you once had in the past?
Oh, this is very juicy.
No, juicy. I don't think I regret any of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like you appreciate every experiences that you had. Mm-hmm. And then you just don't really care of the, not care in a sense, but like you will just live with all the experiences that you've had. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like the experiences during those uncertain times, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I regret any of them. Because you also said, Terrell, earlier, uncovering the mystery of life is exciting. And also, Becky said, everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. So now that I'm here, I look back at last year, I think everything happened for a reason. And it turned out way better than I imagined.
That's good.
Yeah, I was so scared during COVID because I didn't want to go home. I thought it would be so hard to come back here after COVID, you know, and I just prayed so hard every day. Oh, I don't want to go home. Let me stay here. But eventually I was sent back home and I would say I met some people that I probably would have never met if I stayed here. Experiences that I wouldn't have gained if I didn't go home. So yeah, I really like how now that I'm here, I get to look back and see why it had to happen.
True.
Nice.
I think for me, when you're going through it, right, when you're going through the really uncertain turmoil where you don't even know what you're going to do the next day or the next month, or I mean, things move so fast here when, I mean, it closed down and you guys were out. Like, I don't know. Did you go home, Tyrone?
No, I didn't get to go home.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was like so quickly. All of a sudden, the missionaries were gone. And all of a sudden, everything was shut down. And it was like somebody took the rug I mean, anything that was certain to us, right? We were used to doing school a certain way and used to doing our tests a certain way. And then all of a sudden that was pulled. So like in the middle of a trial, sometimes it's really hard to have that eternal perspective.
Yeah.
And that's the moment where I think courage is mostly exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you have the courage to not go into fear and freak out mode? And because that's the worst thing you can do for your own personal being.
Yes.
Is to get to that place of just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. No, just sit in that moment and just let. And I've had to deal with anxiety for a long time in my life. And I've learned that the anxiety is not a permanent thing. So when I'm feeling something, that feeling is not permanent.
Yeah.
It just means it's coming to me. I'm feeling it. I'm not going to stuff it with food or with other unhealthy behaviors like I personally have done. But I'm going to just feel it and let it come to me and then let it flow from me.
Yeah.
Because and sometimes that's sleeping the day away. Sometimes that's going to go on a walk. So it's always better to, in hindsight, to say, oh, that's why I was brought here. That's why I went through what I went through. But in the moment, I truly am a big believer in getting a support team. Don't do this alone, is reach out to people and say, hey, I'm really struggling today.
Yeah.
I'm really struggling and I need you to listen, go for a walk with me, meditate with me, go to a meeting. I mean, and those are the things, it's the community and my tribe that gets me through those times going, Becky, don't you remember? You're way more powerful than this. I was like, I had a bad day yesterday and I have a whole support group around me that's just like, hey, shake it off. Let's go. And that takes time to build that tribe.
Mm-hmm.
At least it did for
me.
Yeah. And I definitely agree with the fact that when you have a good support group, you definitely will have less cluttering in your head, because you always feel like you're fighting this battle alone. But no, in reality, everyone has, if not already experienced how you experience, not in particular specific experiences, but the way you feel, right?
Yeah.
And finding that those people will definitely help you to clear things off of like seeing the future. Sometimes you don't need to know about your future in order to, you know, be successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just got to enjoy the journey and just experience life, whether it be.
But I love what you just said, though, is that you are not alone.
Yeah.
Because that's what that little dark spirit in us, each one of us goes, you're the only one that feels like this.
Yeah.
And you're the only one. No one understands. And that's not true, because all of us, I mean, even when I said I had anxiety, you guys were all, you know.
Yeah.
Because we all know what that feels like. And so when we reach out to other people, they go, I get it. I know. I may not be there right now with you, but I get it. And knowing that you're not alone just can get you one inch further in life. It keeps you in a better place.
It's very true.
It's very true, yes, because like especially people who have anxiety or like even overthinkers as well, all this uncertainty is definitely a huge worry for them, for sure, especially like those who want to predict the future and those who hate surprises, you know, those who want to avoid surprises. I guess for these people, like, worrying will make it seem like you have control over uncertain circumstances, and you believe like, oh, you'll find a solution to your problems if you prepare for the worst. But then of course, when all this worrying, this chronic worrying, it's going to be hard because it cannot give you control over uncontrollable events like what has happened to all of us, basically. So
No amount of worry has ever solved any problems.
It's true.
Yeah.
I agree with that. So my question is, how do you personally cope with fears and uncertainties in life? What's your coping mechanism? What would you do?
Wow. It's getting hard.
We're going deep.
But I mean, Becky did kind of mention like she has that support group.
Yes.
And
there's a lot of things that I do. I'm a life coach, and I've been a life coach for 12 years. And so to me, it's gathering all of the tools that I need. Mm-hmm. And one of them that I've appreciated here in Hawaii is to get out and enjoy the ocean. Like I spent a couple hours on the ocean watching the sunrise this morning in my hammock because I hadn't been out this week. And so that's one. Meditation's another one for me. Writing is another really big. If I can at least get my fears out on, you know, I write, Dear God, here's all my stuff. Like, this is everything I'm concerned about. And then I sit for a moment in quietness and I have God write a letter back to me. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's God saying, you know, Becky, I got your back. Everything's going to be fine. Yeah. And I've got a master plan. And, you know, so it's tapping into that prayer, reaching out to people, being in service to someone, just switching our mind and yes. stop thinking about ourselves and our problems
yep.
and giving it to somebody else that we can help and serve. Because there's just something magical that happens mm-hmm. when we shift our attention from, oh, poor me, pity, pity, I'm in freaking out mode, to let me see, you know, my life's not as bad as, you know, and also writing a list of gratitude. Because that's what I thought this morning when I was sitting on the beach. I'm going, I know I'm in trouble when I don't appreciate where I'm at.
That's true, yeah.
That's very true, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a great coping mechanism to just write things down, especially what you're grateful for, or especially the things that's already happened that you define success, mm-hmm. right? Not, money is noise. Mm-hmm. It's a way of success, but it's never about success. Mm-hmm. But if you write about how grateful you are that you're here in Hawaii, mm-hmm. write about your family and how grateful that you still have like people that you can talk with, friends. If you're in a relationship, you can write how grateful you are that you have mm-hmm. this person to talk with all the time, 24/7. And family too. So I think that's a very good way to mm-hmm. be able to cope with, you know, mm-hmm. fears. Mm-hmm. You know, just repeating on what Becky says mm-hmm. that, you know, focusing on the present. You know, what you have now matters more in the future, because you can never predict what's going to happen in the future, right? There's so many choices that you can make.
There's no fear in the present moment.
Yeah.
Actually, as you say that, we choose because we're fearing what's going to happen in
yes,
the future.
Exactly.
Or
yes, exactly.
We're trying to change what's in the past.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so if
true.
We stay in that present moment, there's no fear.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think, oh, there's a roof over my head. I have lights on. I have mm-hmm. gas in my car.
Yeah.
I have food
too.
To eat, or, you know, whatever it is that you're fearful of. I'm going to lose everything. Well, you don't have it. You have it all right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what's helped me.
I feel like to cope with fear and uncertainty in my life, I personally just push myself to keep going. Because
mm-hmm.
as you go, as you just continue with your daily life, soon you'll find the answer.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's never fun to have uncertainty and have fears. It drives your anxiety. But also, you just gotta do what is best for you. So, like a few months ago, like whenever I had a hard time, I would just suddenly feel the urge to cry, you know? I would be cooking and then I would think of something really scary and I just, oh, I really want to cry, but what is it that I'm crying about? Mm-hmm. Or last year when COVID struck and I was all alone in my room, I was literally just on my phone, but then I felt like I wanted to cry.
Yeah.
So I use my resources. There's the counseling services here, which I went to. And I asked, like, why do I just have this sudden urge to cry when I don't even know the reason why? But the counselor told me that, oh, it's your coping mechanism. And some people would cope in different ways. They would go on run for miles to take their minds off of things. That's what
I wish I could cope that way.
Yeah, that's what one of my friend does. And I just don't get it. Like, why do you run that much? People probably don't understand too. Like, why do you just suddenly cry while you're cooking, right?
Yeah.
But it's our coping mechanism with fear, with anxiety in our lives. The uncertainty in life drives anxiety.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Great comments there.
Yes, definitely. Love those comments.
Yeah.
And there's definitely so much that we can learn from Crystal and Becky about just going on with life through all these uncertainties in life.
Well, and I think Crystal brings up a good point, is that everybody's got different things. I think the most important is just to make sure that it's a healthy coping mechanism.
Always.
Because mine was really unhealthy for many, many years. I went to food, and that's why I had a problem.
Yeah.
with food. So now, instead of going to those unhealthy, I have collected a tool of resources, like you said, that are healthy for me to go when I'm feeling that way. And even music, like music.
Yeah.
Like crying to music. Mm-hmm. Like I cry on the beach all the time to music. And the music stirs my soul to, it just helps
music
me
is
in
powerful.
Dancing and using my body in the music. Yeah.
So. That's true.
And singing.
Always.
Doing what you like.
Get your own toolbox.
Nice. Okay, thank you for those comments. But right now, let's just get quickly into our next favorite segment where we hear what our listeners, friends have to say about this particular topic.
Okay, here we go.
The way I deal with fear and uncertainty now is I just focus on the things that I can control and the efforts that I can put in to cause change. And I try not to focus on the things that are completely outside of my control because that causes more fear and more uncertainty.
Oftentimes when I imagine my future scenarios in life, I sometimes find myself dreading the future as I tend to imagine the risks and negative consequences that may result from my situation. This leads me to anxiety or even worse, which could set me up for failure. So in order to deal with fear and uncertainty, the first thing I tell myself is, all is well, things will work out somehow. I try to focus on what I have to do now, rather than thinking negatively about something that hasn't even occurred to me yet. Thinking negatively about something you have never tried or even happened to you doesn't solve any problems. Instead, try to imagine the best possible scenarios that could occur. Most times, things turn out to not be as bad as we imagined. Don't take counsels from your fears. It's okay to make mistakes because messing up and failing is all part of life and it is important for us to accept it too.
Hey Terrell, just wanna thank you for asking me about how I deal with my fears and uncertainties. I think a lot of times it's pretty easy to want to run away and hide and cover up and kind of put those things away. But there's going to come a moment where we're going to have the courage to face our fears. Face those uncertainties head on, to resolve them, to conquer them, to come at peace with them. And it's something that takes a lot of courage. Things that I've done in the past is I've counseled a lot with my family or with my close friends. I've sought advice from my faith through careful study and prayer, and also from my own conscience of what I thought is right and how I'd like to look back on my story, how I'd like to look back on my decisions. Something my dad has always taught me growing up is that you can't unring the bell. And normally that's applied with people. You know, you can't take back what you say or you can't undo what you did. And so you make sure to be careful and do your best. We always try our best and it's not going to be perfect, but it's important that we don't hide from them and we have the courage to conquer them.
I like the one that again, it goes back to usually we get into turmoil because we're trying to control something. Mm-hmm. So I like that he brought up is what can I control in this moment?
Yeah.
And what can't? And whatever you, and that goes back to 12-step work. I've done 12-step for years, which is God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
Yeah.
And And many times if I sit down and do a writing thing and where I write down all the things I cannot change and this is what I can, then it makes it a lot easier for me to see it in black and white and go, okay, I was trying to change something I really have no control over. And that's where addiction comes in, is because people using the coping mechanisms, they use the negative and the unhealthy things like alcohol and sex and drugs and, you know, things like that. So it's just being aware of feeling it and then being present enough to go, okay, what healthy tools, what are the healthy things that I can do to cope with this?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a great comment right there. What about you, Crystal?
I really like how that girl said, why am I so scared of something that hasn't occurred to me yet? Like, why am I thinking so negatively about what's coming that she didn't even know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that because I think there was this one quote that I read. It says, "Stress the weight, embrace the uncertainty." Mm-hmm. So, you just gotta wait for the future. And it sucks. I don't like waiting. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing we can do. Only time will tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's very addicting for all of us to just like wanting to map everything out. And mm-hmm. Ideally you want that to happen, right? But mm-hmm. no, and yeah. that's not how life is, right? You know,
yeah,
life,
sadly.
As what everyone would quote, life is full of surprises. And it's true.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It's a fact though, because, you know, and that's the beauty of it. You know, we just got to embrace our struggles and our uncertain futures and just yeah. live the life that how we want to live.
Yeah.
In the
yeah.
present, especially.
Definitely. The gift is of life is in the present.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or the present. No. Yeah. The gift of peace is in the present. So present yes. gift.
Yeah. Like yeah. Because it's the present. It's
yeah.
a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Man, we have so many quotes in this episode. Yeah. It's so good.
Well, I'm love a walking it. Quote person. I'm sorry.
That's nice. Okay. So I know you kind of already answered this. We touched on it. But again, what would you say are some healthy ways one can comfort themselves, especially if they tend to overthink or get very anxious?
I like what Becky said about writing down your uncertainties and okay, even though we want to go with the flow, sometimes you also got to plan things.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh,
I'm
yeah.
uncertain of what I want to do, let's say in 1 year, but then you can plan like little by little, not just see the whole staircase, but like take it one step at a time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just writing things mm-hmm. down and plan little by little. It's this small progress each day. And if you get very anxious, definitely some calming exercises and reach out for help yeah. if it gets too mm-hmm. bad. Because sometimes we can't control that. We can't mm-hmm. control our feelings and thoughts.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think something that you just said, what was it? That this is my old brain that just lost what you just said. Getting it into writing. I coach a lot of people that have a hard time writing. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, well, I just don't like to write. And it's hard. And I've been a journaler since I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I say, if you can't, whatever's stored inside of you energy-wise has to come out. Okay. Yes. It has to come out. Whether you share it with somebody else or you put it on writing, or I like to do audio as well. I turn my memo on and I'll just start talking. Yes. And then, you know, if you want to transcribe that, you can put it in a journal or whatever. But somehow you got to speak it to get that energy out.
Yeah.
You got to shift it. And gratitude does not, there's no way for you to be in true gratitude and in the negative thinking at the same time.
That's
it's just
true.
You can't hold those two energies. Mm-hmm. So it's, and then also the other thing that Crystal just said is that reaching out for help. I think people are so afraid that, oh, that's going to make me look like I'm weak. And I have to say most of my life, I never asked for help. It was my problem. Oh. I'm going to fix it myself. I got myself in this trouble. But now I have zero problem saying, hey, SOS, I need help. You know?
Yeah.
And it's just been a really great gift to be able, and like I do writing every single day, recovery writing. And so like right now we've talked about fears and anger recently. Mm-hmm. So I've been processing through a lot of that without any judgment. I also say when you do the writing, don't judge yourself. Don't beat yourself up over how you feel. Mm-hmm. They're just feelings. The feelings are not you. So they don't define you of who you are. You just, in order for it, instead of it getting stuck in your body and then you're yelling at your roommates or you're yelling at your family and they're like, gosh, what's wrong with you? You're like, so the energy's got to go somewhere and you just don't want it to go and ruin relationships. And so take the time to release it somehow. Yes. I don't care if it's dancing on the beach. People have stared at me. I had one guy last year, a year and a half ago. He was videotaping me dancing on the beach.
Oh,
that's disturbing.
I turned to him and I'm like, are you taping me? Like, are you like videoing me? He's like, oh yeah. I'm like, okay, this is how I process. Like, buzz off. You know, because our bodies need to move the energy.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yeah. Very true.
Yeah. Going back and... Yeah, go ahead, Deidre.
No, I was just like, it's just making me think, like, really, to cope with all this uncertainty, there's so many ways, yeah, we can do it. Because, of course, worrying is not going to give us control over uncontrollable events. And it's just robbing you of enjoyment now, sapping your energy, keeping you up at night. So I like all of this various different healthy ways that we can cope. Like, for me, definitely music is number one for me, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I make one more comment about that writing too?
Yeah, go ahead.
What's cool is that when you go back years later, because we think that we're going to remember those difficult times. No. We don't.
We don't, yeah.
When you go back to reread what you've written in those journals, and if you're writing it in the moment, you're like, oh my gosh. And this is another one of my quotes, and this is one of my favorite quotes, is don't ever look back unless you're looking back to see how far you've come.
Yes. Yeah, I love that quote. Yeah.
Because it's like, don't beat yourself up. It's just, but look at how far you've come and look what you made it through, because we really do forget how difficult life has been sometimes.
Yeah.
And it gives us courage to keep going. That's we can do hard things.
True.
Yeah.
Just going along the lines with quotes. So I'm sure with all of you guys have watched Kung Fu Panda, the first movie.
Oh my gosh, that had so many quotes.
Yeah. From Master Oogway, I quote, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift. That's why they call it the present.
Yes.
Yeah, that one. Okay, you can just send me that.
Yes, I'll send you that for sure, Becky. Yeah.
Then the clip itself.
I'm sure everyone's familiar with that, if anything.
I remember that one,
yeah.
It was a classic.
Awesome. Yeah. But lastly, are there any other comments or thoughts you would like to share with us regarding living with uncertainties in life?
Well, I like what Becky said, seeing how far you've come.
Yeah.
Like, looking back, maybe you were worried if you were going to college at all, and now that you're in college, you look back, oh, I was so worried about that, but I made it this far. So yeah, you should be proud for coming this far. And there's also like an exercise that I do, not occasionally, pretty often. So when something bad happens in your life, you just write it, three good things that come with it, or three good things that give you comfort. For example, some easy examples. Maybe you get rained on your way to work.
Yeah.
But the good thing is that you can dry up and your coworkers also got wet. And let's say you haven't showered maybe. So that's a good rain, yeah? So yeah, just try to think positive. And it actually helped me to always find joy each day. And looking back, like you said, looking back to kind of improvise, oh, wow, I faced this difficulty and here are the good things that came with it, or here are the good things that I finally learned a week later,
That's very good, Crystal. I think everyone should follow that way just so they won't get depressed with all those bad things that's happened in their life, right?
Yeah,
and fear especially.
It's like, for example, if you lost your job or your income during this time, you still have control over how much energy you put to search for work online, to send out your resumes, network, or if it's a health problem, you had a health recent diagnosis, for example, the action you can take is, okay, reach out to loved ones for support, manage your symptoms when you can, lower your stress levels. Yeah.
Time for you to finally rest and take the time for yourself.
Yeah, that's very important though. Like, I think like we didn't emphasize this enough sometimes, is that having alone time is also a very good way to cope right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's at least for me, though. You know, I value my alone time. Even though I love friends, I love talking to them, I love hanging out.
Mm-hmm. The introvert of us.
Yeah. And I just want to sit down and do nothing sometimes.
Mm-hmm. See, Tyrell is a guy. You can do nothing. You have a nothing box in your brain that us women wish we had. But yeah, I think that it is self-care. And again, you just you learn for yourself what works. It's important to try and error. Because not everything's going to work for everybody.
Yeah,
so.
Very true, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I guess that's basically everything on what we have to share. So thank you so much, Becky and Crystal, for being our guests here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I feel like this episode is so wholesome, so encouraging.
I know, right?
Wholesome, yes.
You know, it makes me feel that, you know, I can do more things after this, right? So again, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. How do you feel of now being our guest at the end of this episode?
I love it.
I'm glad we talked about that.
Yeah.
I think that anytime people come together and talk about their stories and their experience, it's always inspiring.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, very.
We've all been through very difficult times, and especially this last year. The more we talk about it, the more connection we feel. Mm-hmm. If we stay isolated, then we feel like we're alone in how we feel. So that's a big, you know, plus for community. And it's important to stay connected.
Yeah, true. I totally agree with that. But yeah, thank you so much for being our guest here today. And thank you, friends and family, for listening to our DT Talks podcast season 5. We hope you have enjoyed what we all have shared. Mm-hmm. Hope you can learn a little bit, a thing or two on this episode. And if you have any questions, and please be sure to refer this episode for sure.
Lots of comments.
Please be sure to follow us on our social media platform, Facebook, DT Talks Podcast, and Instagram, DT Talks _podcast, for our latest news, episodes, and more. Please be sure to follow us on our podcast platform on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music as well. So thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. And this has been
DT Talks.
Woo! We are done.
Thank you, guys.
Mahalo.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.